Before I read the text, I want to visit with you for just a minute or two. This is Mother's Day. In my office this morning, I was just trying to pray and think, and I got to counting in my own mind how many different days we have in our country for this and that and something else. You know, a preacher said to me not long ago, he said, Dr. Bob, he said, in my own denomination, there are so many days to do so many different things till I don't have many days left to preach the gospel. He said, it's a matter of concern to me as an old-time Orthodox preacher. Now, this is the Lord's Day. Every day is his day, but this is his day. This is Mother's Day. Any more than yesterday, or the day before, or tomorrow. I don't suppose there are many people that have more sentiment than I have. I've all my life had to pray that my sentiment wouldn't run away with me. My mother's been in heaven for about 55 years. That's a long time. I don't think anybody ever loved his mother any more than I love my mother. I think about her day by day now. But you know, young men and young women and older people too, it isn't right to crowd the Lord out of his day to bring my mother into the day. I'm sometimes sorry that they made Mother's Day on Sunday, Father's Day on Sunday. I thought it would have been so much better if we'd had a weekday for all of us to wear our flowers and maybe somebody recommend we have family prayer. We are going to have to watch out in this country, or the gospel of the grace of God is going to be pushed out of our churches and out of our pulpits and other things substituted. As I sat there in my office this morning, I just kept thinking and praying. And I thought about all the mothers in heaven. My mother. Some of your mothers have gone on. And of course, they're Christian mothers. And I just said, if I could climb some kind of a stairway up to heaven, wherever heaven is, and could bring together all the mothers in heaven, and we could start with the mother of Jesus, too. She was just a woman like anybody else. A virgin mother. If I could get them all together in some great amphitheater in the sky, up there somewhere, and say, mothers, we've got some young folks here in our school on the campus, to be at church this morning, and some of them will be wearing white flowers in memory of you. And some of our faculty will be there wearing white flowers, too. What would you like to have me say to them? And I know what every mother in heaven would say. She'd say, talk to them about Jesus. I told them to be good boys and girls. But I couldn't make them good boys and girls. I asked some of them to meet me in heaven before I left. Down there. But I couldn't bring them to heaven. Jesus said he was the way, the only way. And he was the only way I ever got him myself. So tell all of them. And I could think I'd hear some mother say, I have a son down there on Bob Jones University campus. And some mother say, I have a daughter down there. I'm waiting for her sometime. You tell her about Jesus. Tell her to trust him. Tell her to be true to him. Tell my son not to ever wander away. Then I got to thinking about all the Christian mothers in this country, in another land, some of them across the sea, whose children here in school. And I said to myself, if I could get them together, if they're Christians now, real Christians, and I'd say, what must I say to your boy and girl at the Sunday morning service? And I think I know if they are well-taught, genuine Christians, they would say, tell my boys and girls to be true to Jesus Christ. And I think I would have said to them, what must I tell the folks over the country about Bob Jones University? And Christians in heaven and Christians on earth would say, tell them everywhere to pray for Bob Jones University. To be so Christian, it'll never permit anybody, on any occasion, on any circumstances, to push Jesus Christ out of the pulpit, or out of the laboratory, or out of the library, or out of the dining room, or the gymnasium, anywhere else. Men and women, everything's being done today, even by good people, unconsciously, are trying to focus the attention somewhere except on Jesus. And so many things are so good, see, so wonderfully good, you can't say anything against them. But not even the best thing in the world should ever crowd the Lord out of a pulpit or out of a church. He's to have the place there. This is His day, the Lord's day. This is His pulpit. This is His school. You are saved by His blood if you're saved. So we're going to try to exalt Him this morning. And that's what you want, and your mother would want if she could talk to us from heaven. And your Christian mother would want to tell us if she was here. So it's the Lord's Day. Remember, think of our mothers. Wear the flowers. Never forget them. Thank God for them. But it's the Lord's Day. So let's exalt it. John 12:20-21. You need to look it up. I'm skipping several verses around. You won't have time to follow me. John 12:20-21. There were certain Greeks among them, that is the folks that came there, up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Now Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. John 3:3. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. John 8:51. Verily, verily, I say to you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Acts 7:56. Stephen was filled with the Holy Ghost, and this is what he said. And said, Behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. I want to talk to you about seeing and not seeing. That's in the Bible. We have eyes to see and see not, and ears to hear and hear not. You can have eyes and never see. You can have ears and never hear. I said somewhere recently, and I'm not dogmatic about it, I'm wondering if any man ever really intelligently or responsibly heard the gospel and was not converted and was ever converted. Because in the proclamation of the gospel, that's where we are supposed to begin the Christian program. Paul said, I gave unto you all that which I also received, how Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, was buried the third day and rose according to the Scripture. That's where he started. Now, I'm not dogmatic. I may be wrong. But many people grow up in the church and never hear the gospel, even when it's preached. And I think it may be, we may learn someday, that no man who ever turned the gospel away when he really heard it with an intelligent ear was ever saved. I don't know that man. I'm not taking a dogmatic position. But Jesus said they have ears to hear and hear not. They hear and don't hear. They see and they don't see. Now here were these Greeks. I don't know. Those Greeks may have been saved. I don't know. They were up at the feast. They came around and said, Sir, we would see Jesus. Jesus, speaking in our modern language, was a celebrity. Wouldn't you want to see somebody like Jesus Christ if he was in this country? If I was a pagan, an atheist, infidel, anything else, somebody could break up funerals. And can you ever stop to think about the headlines he'd have in the American papers if he was here? Fed so many people, a rumor's out. He fed so many people on a mountain. Fed so many people in the desert. A story in the headlines. He spoke to so many thousands of people. Do you ever stop to think somebody had seen a funeral procession going down the street and had seen some man walk up and touch the bier and have seen the fellow get up and then hug his mother and see everybody look so startled? Why, what headlines you'd get. And you wouldn't have to work up those headlines. You wouldn't have to have a publicity man or a public relations man going around with you. That would make news in our modern age is greater than it made in those days. Jesus was a celebrity, but never was anybody like him. They said never man spake like he spake. He never said, I think, this is my opinion. He just stood up and said, I say unto you. Think of a person like Jesus Christ. Now, I think these Greeks simply wanted to see a celebrity. And it's possible for men to see in Jesus as a celebrity and die and go to hell someday. People did see him. The Pharisees saw him. The Sadducees saw him. They came back from the great meetings he conducted and said, we've seen strange things today. Strange things. Talk about the modern language so many young people are using, about being out of the world. I'd like to hear some of these young people try to describe a thing that seemed like that. I don't know where they get their adjectives. Out of the world. Just break out. Any little thing. Nothing at all. Out of this world. See. What would they have said about one of those meetings that Jesus Christ conducted? There he was. So these Greeks said, we'd like to see him. I wonder if there's an opportunity. You suppose we could speak to him. We'd like to meet him. All right, you can see him in the Lord. You can see him with your eyes. And you can hear him speak in the Lord. Man heard his sermon on the mount, maybe, and were lost. At least heard things he said. Whether they heard that sermon direct or not up there, he had probably talked mostly to his disciples, maybe altogether. Maybe he didn't. Some people don't agree about that. But people heard him speak. Think of somebody saying, you know, I saw him stand up in a ship and tell the waves, go to sleep now and be quiet and good. And they fell asleep on the bosom of a lake like babies go to sleep in the arms of a mother. I've heard him tell them that. And he said, wind ceased blowing and stopped immediately. But you could have heard him say that and could have seen him do that. Still be lost. Why, strange how people look at things. You remember when Paul was on the island there, got shipwrecked, and they were making some fires, and Paul wasn't too highbrow to kindle the fire. Now, you get too far along in life to do the lowly things. You need to have something done to your head, as well as your heart. Paul hit, let me get some sticks here, make a fire. Why did he pick up a stick? A viper, did he? They shook off in the fire. Somebody said, I bet you he's a murderer. He killed somebody. Vengeance has overtaken him. He's a murderer. Then a minute later, when he didn't swell up and he didn't fall over dead, because they knew what those vipers would do, they said, he's a god. Oh, foolish man. One minute he's a murderer, next minute he's a god. How impossible it is for man to see things right. How we are so blind. And there never has been an age in the history of the Christian era where Christianity was supposed to be predominant, where there was as much spiritual blindness as it is today in this country. Sir, we'd like to see Jesus. All right, the philosopher says, look at the philosopher. And he was. Why, the most profound statement ever made, I think, I don't claim to be a philosopher. I think the most profound philosophical statement ever uttered was that statement from the 5th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew this morning, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." The depths there are so deep you never can explore. There's a height so high no man, the mind of man could ever reach. And he just said this naturally. And then the great teacher might come along and say, "Behold the teacher." And they'd be right. "I'd like to see the teacher." Somebody else might say, "I'd like to see him that performed the miracles." And he did perform. Somebody might say, "I'd like to see the one who's had such an influence on the history of the race." And no man ever wielded the influence of Jesus Christ and wielded down the years. His name is known in most places. After 2,000 years, he still is. You might see him as a teacher, a wonder worker, as these Greeks probably want to see him. But you've got to see him another way. You've got to see him as a Savior. And I'm going further than that now, and I'm saying deliberately. You've got to see him as the only Savior. Not a Savior. The only Savior. If you ever see Jesus just as a Savior, just one of the Saviors of men, you've never seen him, and you're not saved. You can't put him on the level with anybody else. So these people said, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." You want to see him? You'll have to get some eyes of the right kind. You'll have to get a pure heart. That old dirty heart of yours can never see. You'll have to clean up a little. No, you won't. You can't. He'll have to clean you up. You can't clean up. You have to look to him to clean you up if you're going to see. Nicodemus went around and said, I want you to notice this distinction now. Went around, "You're a teacher, come from God." He said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." How do you expect to see God if you can't even see his kingdom? That's what's the matter with this country. They don't know the kingdom of God when they see it. You've got preachers in American pulpits today that don't know the kingdom of God when they look at it. You've got deacons and elders and stewards and trustees and vestrymen and Sunday school teachers and professors in religious colleges of America been built with the sacrificial gifts of Christians that don't know the kingdom of God when they say it. One man in America is supposed to have said some time ago, and a man of prominence, that communism is not tagged as the kingdom of God, but it is the kingdom of God. He's no more blind than a great many other people. Kingdom of God. I've been in the British Empire. I never saw the Queen, never saw the King. But I knew the British Empire. I could see the British Empire without seeing the Queen. And it might be possible to see the Queen and never see the British Empire. She might happen to be in this country. You can't see God, and you can't even see his kingdom until you're born again. Why, education won't make any difference. Culture won't make any difference. Training won't make any difference. Baptism won't make any difference. Giving your tenth of your income to God won't make any difference. Singing in the choir won't make any difference. Going to a theological seminary won't make any difference. The difference is made by the regenerating grace in the hearts of man. And one of the things that makes me think Dr. R.A. Torrey was right years ago when he told me he didn't think 10% of the Protestant church members of America had ever been born again. And one of the things that makes me think, and as I've grown old, he's right, is because of the blindness in this country. One of the tragedies of our age is it is so easy to deceive people who are supposedly Christians. Why, you read about all these things in the Bible. In that day, somebody said, you know me, don't you? Why, everybody in my country knew me. I went to the conference every year as a delegate. I was a member of the convention, you know. Oh, yes, sir. I was well known there. I cast out devils in your name. You never heard of me. No, I never did know you. You know why he didn't know him? The man didn't know Jesus, and Jesus didn't know him. Oh, Jesus knew he was, but he didn't know the man spiritually. And the man didn't know Jesus because he wasn't spiritual. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Well, somebody says that certainly is wonderful, yes, but how are you going to get it? That's what you're facing. Sure problem. Yes. Now, you can get to be a Christian, you can be born again, and then you may have a blurred vision even after you get saved. Remember when Jesus opened the blind man's eyes? He said, how's everything look to you? Well, I didn't know men were that big. That's always a sign of a blurred vision. Men get so big. Human intellect gets so big. Human achievement so stupendous. He himself is so wonderful. He said, I see men walking like trees. Men ought not to be as big as trees, but that man's vision was not cleared up completely. I know, actually know many born again Christians that I think will go to heaven if when they die, by the grace of a good God, that don't see things in their proper proportion. Business is bigger than it should be. Education out of proportion to salvation. Bigness of crowds is more important than quality of service. We don't see clear. The winds of circumstances have blown the dust of a degenerate age into our eyes. And our eyes are not good. The age has affected us. Conditions around us. And we see things all out of proportion. We see a job instead of an opportunity. We see a position of prominence instead of a place of service. We haven't the right eyes of success. It's always the trouble with us. Not with Jesus. He was in the open. He went around everywhere, wide open. Sometimes he got away in the crowd to get a little rest. He didn't hide out in the closet and not write some secret books. He wasn't behind closed doors with some secret schemes to put over. He was bold. He stood up and said, no man comes to the Father except this way, by me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He never dodged this. Somebody came, he said, who do they say I am? They said, someone say John the Baptist, and so on. Whom do you say that I am? Who do you say I am? Come on, talk. Son of God. He said, that came to you straight. That's not flesh and blood. That's God's revelation. Say, do you see Jesus Christ as God revealing? Or do you see him out of the sort of eyes you have naturally? I remember years ago I went to an oculist. And I said, "Doctor, I want to examine my eyes. I'm having some trouble." He looked at my eyes and he said, "What's the matter with them?" I said, "Doctor, they're just a million little specks in front of my face that just come floating by here and run me crazy. They come from this side, just millions of them. I just going crazy if I can't get rid of those little spots out in front of my eyes." He examined very carefully. He said, "Well, you don't have any spots out in front of your eyes." Well, I said, "I know I do. Had for days." He said, "No, you don't." Well, I said, "I guess I know, Doctor, what I see. I see some spots out in front of my face." But he said, "You don't have any out there." Well, I said, "If I don't have any out there, I'm crazy. That's where I see them." "No, you're not crazy. The thing you see out there is what you have in here. Slightly ruptured blood vessel over your vision. Eyes have been on a strain, yes. Yesterday I was in the auditorium where the lights were so bright I almost went crazy. Couldn't see the crowd sometimes when I'd move out of the light." So that's what's the matter with you. You'd have to clear up that. And I said, "Doctor, I've learned that's a law of seeing. People see according to what kind of eyes they have. And the kind of eyes they have depends on what kind of heart they have. A man with the right kind of heart has the right kind of spiritual eyes." Now that's in the Bible too. "They that know God hear us." There's something wrong with these people running off route. Everything comes along, every little tangent. Taking up everything comes along, something wrong with them. Oh, they may be saved people, but they're just not exactly what they ought to be. A man who's in a normal spiritual condition and is properly spiritually related to the Son of God will be sensible spiritual. All these wild eccentricities in this country, where people are doing things that are unscriptural, and all this cold deadness with no fervency. All of it's not a normal situation, it's an abnormal situation. Folks don't stop to realize that. Good people, some of them. I expect to meet them in heaven. I believe they trust the Lord, but there's an abnormality there. Just like a great many people are abnormal physically. There are very few of us normal physically. We belong to a fallen race, you know. And very few of us are normal. And the treasure we get's in the earthen vessel. And the devil's got nothing specially against your body, but he sure has got something against your spiritual life. And you wrestle not with flesh and blood, but principalities and powers in the heaven. And he's always trying to twist you up spiritually. And what a twisted world we have. Some folks are dead, they ought to be buried. Some folks are crazy, they ought to be in the asylum. Some folks are lazy, they ought to have a tonic. Somebody else needs something else. You can be actually saved, but not see right. See. Now, a man who's normal spiritually will accept one position that Bob Jones University stands for. And you can test your normality by this. To a Christian, everything's safe. All the ground he walks on is holy ground. He said, "I've got this lesson to get. I ought to do my best. I'm a Christian student." Examination time comes, he said, "I mustn't cheat. It's a sacred trust to stand here or sit here and take this examination the best I can. I want to be honest. I don't want any credit I don't deserve. That isn't straight. I want to excel this other questionnaire so I can outshine him.
That's wrong. Bear one another's burdens. Help the other brother along. Look not every man on his own thing, every man also on the things of the other. I want this. What for? Well, I'd like to have it. What do you want with an automobile? Well, I just like to ride around.
You do?
Only an automobile is a sacred trust. Everything sacred. A normal Christian is a man who looks at all life as a sacred zone. My responsibility as a preacher. My responsibility as a citizen. That's normal. A man who's normal physically is a man who is related to all the physical things of life as he ought to be related. A man who's normal spiritually is so related to Jesus Christ until the kingdom of God around him with which he comes in contact and which he sees and understands he's normally related to. If he can't sing himself, he'd pray for the folks that do sing. If he can't preach, he'll pray for somebody that's trying to preach the gospel. If he can't be a missionary, he'll pray for missionaries and help support missionaries. Normal Christians. Listen, they ought to be the most normal people on earth. And I've met a few of them. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Well, they see God. In blooming flowers. Every rose to them speaks of God. Lovely flower. My heavenly Father painted that rose. Jesus is a rose of Sharon. The river running to the sea. Going down there over the rocks. Crystal clear water. You see God in. In the morning. When abnormal spiritual people look to the eastern sky. And they say, what a beautiful day. And you are saying, my Father is opening for me the door of a morning. What a wonderful Father. In the evening time. When the sun climbs over the western hills and goes down behind the horizon, leaving some light on the sky. Somebody said, isn't it a lovely sunset? Did you ever see such a beautiful sky? A normal Christian says, isn't my Father a great artist? I wish I could paint some pictures of his glory like I see it in the sky. The pure in heart sees God. He's normal. He's balanced. He's right. He's adjusted. He understands. Poor blind man around you can't see. Pure in heart, see God. Stars in the sky at night. Look like frozen dewdrops up there sometimes. The astronomer turns the telescope towards the sky and says, let's see, that's so many years it's taken that ray of light to come here. An humble Christian looks up and says, God has put out the stars for me to see. And you think of the star of Bethlehem and a manger and a little baby. Everything's sacred. You're married. Husband of a wife. Wife of a husband. Married life becomes sacred. You say, Jesus is the bridegroom and I belong to the bride. And this is typical of the bridegroom and the bride. Christ is church. Little children are sacred. Smile of a baby. Tear on a baby's cheek. And you look down to the little baby.
See, if Jesus was here, he'd hold that baby. If you don't love babies, you're not a normal Christian. If you don't value life right, you're not normal. There's nothing abnormal about this. We've been subnormal so long. When a man gets normal, we think he has high temperature. Blessed are the pure in heart, they shall see God. Why, Jesus says it holds everywhere in sorrows. Even in the darkness. If you'll do what I tell you to do, live like I tell you to live, you'll never even see death. You may die, but you won't see death. I've got more comfort out of that scripture than I think anything in the New Testament that's come to me as a Christian. I've been so active all my life, there's always been a little chilly feeling comes over me when I think about dying. I never have liked the idea of being stiff and cold and dead and inactive. Pick me up and put me in a car. But my Lord says, if I'm properly related to Jesus Christ, I won't even see death when I'm dying. Death will be there and will cast a shadow over the room. And folks will be crying because he's come into the room where I'm in a bed. The doctor looked serious, the nurse standing there. We said, I won't see it if I'm in good, normal, spiritual condition. Why, when Stephen died, outside there, you remember, they began to throw the stones at him. You know what made him throw the stones at him? He wasn't afraid of death. And he looked up and said, I see the Son of Man. He isn't dead. He isn't dead. And that was what they were mad about, because Jesus wasn't dead. And Stephen said, I see him, and I know where he is. He's at the Father's right hand standing there. And they said, let's kill him. And his eyes got filled with blood, those blood drops became telescopes, through which he saw Jesus plainer than ever. And if his eyes were so swollen because of the stones thrown at him as he was dying, he didn't have to have physical eyes because he had eyes, spiritual eyes, eyes of the soul that nobody could blind when he is properly related to Jesus. He said, I see. All the rest of them saw death except Stephen. Listen, young people, if you will move into this realm of absolute surrender to God and will look at life as I've tried to drill it into you here, that all life is sacred and every relationship's a holy relationship, you'll always see Jesus. All the tears you shed, you'll see Jesus through the tears. Every heartache, every pain, all the disappointments, the loss of friends, everything you have, Things you can't explain, you say, well, I can't explain them. He understands. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God, not just when they get to heaven, but now. Right down here on this earth. You don't have to climb up into the sky to see him. You can see him in the classroom this week. You can see him when you have your next date. Because having a date for Christian young people is as holy as worship if they are normal spiritual. Sirs, we would see Jesus as a celebrity. You can't see him that way very well now because he's up at the Father's right hand. And angels up there dare not look at him without veiling their faces, crying, holy, holy, holy. But you can see him with the eyes of your soul if your heart's right and you have a normal spiritual life. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Our Father, help us to believe. And help us to be sure that we are so surrendered and have the view of life of the sacredness of all relationships that we'll be able to experience what he said we may experience. Keep us faithful and true to thee. And may this school, under all circumstances, under all conditions, until Jesus comes back again, always keep the light of the classroom and social life and all life on this campus focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, our only Savior, our Lord, our Advocate, and our coming King. We pray in his name. Amen.